want you to follow with me as we read verse 13 and 14 of Matthew 7. Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the straight or narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go down thereof. Because straight or narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it." Now, our lives are filled with decisions on a daily basis, right? You get up in the morning and you need to decide, am I going to brush my teeth? Am I going to shave? Am I going to comb my hair? Am I going to take a shower? Am I going to eat cereal, eggs? Am I not going to eat? What am I going to eat and how am I going to eat it and all that jazz? And we make those decisions on a daily basis. Maybe you made a decision tonight about what to wear to church. You went in your closet, you stood there, you're looking at your clothes, and you almost had a nervous breakdown trying to figure out, you know, what matches and what looks good and how, you know, to fit the occasion. And you decide what clothes to put on. We decide where we're going to go. We decide what we're going to do. We decide what we're going to say, what we're going to buy. You go to a store and you want to buy things and you make a decision. An important decision is who we're going to marry and what career path we're going to follow. Many of the choices we make are trivial, though, and insignificant, while others are very significant and life-changing. The most critical of all decisions a person will make is their decision. Listen very carefully. The decision that you must make, you cannot avoid, everyone will make, and that is the decision of what to do with Jesus Christ. Will you believe in him? Will you follow him? Or will you reject him and ignore him altogether? Jesus, in this passage, calls us to make a decision. And he lays before us two choices. There are two gates. One is a narrow gate. The other is a wide gate. There are two ways. One is the narrow way. The other is the broad or wide way. And there are two destinations. One leads to life and the other one to destruction. So really, that's how this text breaks down. Two gates, two ways, two destinations. There are no third options in this passage. Every man, every woman is a pilgrim and is traveling either to on the broad road or on the narrow road. When you came to church tonight, you drove on a road, but there is a road that you cannot avoid. It's the broad road, and that leads to destruction. And then there's a narrow road that leads to life. Every human being on planet Earth is on one of those two roads. Now, you might say tonight, well, Pastor John, I don't know what road I'm on. Well, I'll encourage you then to make sure you're on the narrow road. Amen? Make sure you go through the narrow gate, which goes to the narrow way, which leads to life everlasting. So if you're here tonight and you don't know you're saved, if you're here tonight you don't know you're born again, I'm going to give you an opportunity to get on that narrow road, to go through that narrow gate which enters into life, which is really the road to heaven. So every one of us is on a road. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, he cries and says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. If the Lord be God, serve him. If Baal be God, you serve him." Make a choice. How long do you hobble or halt between two opinions or two decisions? And tonight you say, well, I'm undecided. I don't know what road I want to be on. To be undecided is to be decided. Jesus said, you're either for me or you are against me. So you make a choice tonight as to what road you want to travel on. Jesus came to the end here of the Sermon on the Mount, and he calls us to enter the narrow gate. Now, in this sermon, he's been laying out for us the Christian's character, the Christian's influence, the Christian's righteousness, the Christian's ambition, and we close with the Christian's relationships. And in all of this, he's describing the kingdom of God now, kingdom living now. Those who are the children of the King, the kingdom that we live in, and how we live in God's kingdom right here and right now. But in order to enter that kingdom, you must go through a narrow gate, which leads to a narrow way, which leads to eternal life. So both a command and an invitation to enter the kingdom under his rule. Now, I want to break this down for you tonight. If you're taking notes, it starts with two gates. Two gates. Notice in verse 13, Jesus says, enter the narrow gate. So we start with a gate that is narrow. It's the narrow gate of salvation through Jesus Christ. I believe in cutting to the chase. I don't want to, you know, mess around here. I don't have that much time. What is the narrow gate? Here's the narrow gate. It is the way of salvation through Jesus Christ. And it is narrow. If you were here this morning, you heard me say there's only one way to get to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. And Jesus is describing this again by using the metaphor of a narrow gate. Jesus said, I am the door. If any man enter in through me, he will be saved. He didn't come to teach about the door or preach about the door or point us to the door. He personified is the door. And we come to Jesus and we come to eternal life. Then Jesus said in John 14:6, marvelous passage every Christian should memorize, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the what? Life. Way, truth, and life. Now, in order to make that perfectly clear, Jesus went on to say, no one comes to the who? Father, except by me, right? So what he's saying is, the only way to get to heaven is through me. The only truth is found in me. The only life is found in me. Now, obviously, in our culture today, people view that as being what? Narrow, right? Narrow. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said it was narrow. When people say, oh, you're so narrow-minded, I go, yeah, I sure am. As a matter of fact, these people with open minds, nothing stays in it. I just want to have an open mind, man. I just want to have an open mind. Well, shut it, would you? You know, I'm not just making that up. It's actually in the Old Testament in the Psalms. He gives wisdom to the simple. The simple is the person that shuts the door to his mind. My house has doors on it. Does your house have doors on it? You know what those doors are for? To let in what I want and to keep out what I don't want. My mind has doors on it. You know what those doors are for in my mind? To let in what I want and to keep out what I don't want. I just want an open mind, man. I just want an open mind, man. You don't even have a mind, man. It's just like all hollow up there, you know. It goes in and it goes right out, goes in, goes right. My mind's so open, nothing stays. Wow. Let it in, let the truth in, and then shut the door for heaven's sake, okay? Once you find the truth, you don't need to search anymore. You know, you go to philosophy class, and if you're a Christian, you found the truth, you know. And if they found the truth in a philosophy class, the class would be over. There'd be no need to go to philosophy class when we found the truth. So a Christian has found the truth in Jesus, and the truth has set him or her free. Now, this angers the world. They say, that's too narrow. Narrow is an offensive word to many in our culture today. All paths lead to God. It's amazing how this parallels my message this morning. I quoted Oprah. Oprah said, many roads to God, many paths to God. You can't say that there's only one way to God. But that's what Jesus said. I'll take the words of Jesus over Oprah any day. I mean, he knows what he's talking about. There's only one road. And though it angers people and bums people out and freaks people out, there's nothing wrong with being narrow. So Jesus says, we Christians didn't invent the claim. Jesus made the claim. I didn't invent it. I didn't create it. The fact is, it is, listen to this, it is true. It is true. Now, we live in a culture today where people don't even believe in truth. Now, they're absolutely sure that it's true. There is no truth. Figure that one out. I've asked college students, do you believe in truth? No. No, I don't believe in truth. You believe there's absolute truth? No, I don't believe in absolute. I say, is that an absolutely true statement? They look at me like, well, Maybe there's one truth. One truth, there is no truth. Oh, isn't that convenient? You hold the only truth that there is no truth? I mean, it's absurdity, circular reasoning. Oh, that's too narrow. There's got to be other ways. There's got to be other paths. When I was in school, I hated math. I still hate math. If you're in school, you shouldn't hate math, though. Don't follow your pastor's example. You should be in the math. I had a math teacher. He'd do these equations on the board. And he'd just like, chalk flying everywhere. You know, he's like, he'd start getting all excited. I'm thinking, the man is sick. He's sick. I mean, how can you get off on numbers and equations and math? And it's like, no, thank you. Let's go, just go to recess right now. And wait for the bell to ring. God, set the captives free. But man, when I handed in my math paper, D's, F's, you know, and if I ever got a C on a math test, it's like, you know, a miracle. But here's the deal. When you're doing an equation, there's only one answer to the question, right? The teacher says, John, you got that wrong. John, you got that wrong. I'd say, well, be open-minded, teach. There's no absolute truth. Any answers, right? Which is funny because that's actually in our educational system today. You don't want anyone to have a, you know, wounded psyche or, you know, hurt them. So you got to give every kid passing grade, tell them everything's okay, you know. But, I mean, it's either right or wrong, you know. When you're doing math, it has to be what? Exact, right? When you're balancing your checkbook, you know what a checkbook is? It's kind of a lost thing, but people used to have checks. And balancing a checkbook, one little number put in the wrong place or one little, you know, decimal put in the wrong place and, you know, you subtract and bring it down, it whacks everything out, right? So when you're doing math, you have to be narrow-minded fundamentalist. Can't just, well, any answers, right? Doesn't really matter. How about when you're in an airplane? When you're in an airplane and you have a pilot, you want a narrow-minded fundamentalist pilot. When he takes off on that plane, and I've flown around the world, and he leaves from L.A. and he's on his way to London, you know, I mean, you don't want a pilot when he hears from the tower that he must fly around for a while because there's no runways open. Or when he's told by the tower which runway to land on, he doesn't say to the tower, well, let's be open-minded here. All runways lead to Heathrow Airport in London, you know. Or he sets the direction to go to Hawaii from L.A. If he's off 1 degree, you land in the Pacific Ocean. And so you want a narrow-minded fundamentalist pilot, right? Speaking of pilots, you ever been on a plane flying at 30,000 feet and the pilot walks by? I'm like, dude, who's flying this thing, you know? Let some little kid take over or something like that. I want a pilot that flies by the rules, follows the specs, knows where he's going, and follows that narrow path because I want to land safely, amen? So Jesus said, this is true. There's only one way for us to get to heaven. And man can't create his own path. You can't get there by nature. I've met tree huggers. I was in Santa Cruz one time sharing the gospel, and this guy told me the trees are just as important as people. The trees are just as valuable as people, hugging a tree. When you hug a tree, you won't get to heaven. You might get a rash or something, but you're not going to get to heaven. You're not going to get to heaven by religion. You're not going to get to heaven by morality or keeping moral standards. You're only going to get to heaven one way, and that's through the work of Jesus Christ, the person of Christ who died on the cross for your sins. Now, how do we enter this narrow gate, verse 13? We enter this narrow gate through repentance, by seeing ourselves as a sinner before God, and changing our mind and turning around and putting our faith in Jesus Christ. And so faith, repentance is involved. And what is faith? By grace are you saved through faith. Not that of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should what? Boast. Now faith isn't just believing in spite of evidence or just psyching yourself up. I believe, I believe, I believe. Faith is trust. Faith is commitment. When you got in your car to drive to church tonight, guess what you exercised? Faith. Looking at some of the cars you drive, it takes a lot of faith to drive them babies. Faith that when you hit the brakes will stop, and then you'll stop at that intersection. When you go into a restaurant, you know, why do they keep those places so dark? You have to eat in faith. You just hope that what's on your plate is edible, you know. They can't see it, just be quiet and eat it, you know. You eat in faith. You don't know what they're doing to that food behind the door back there either. You get on an airplane by faith. You go over a bridge by faith. You ever been on these big freeway overpasses in Southern California where we have earthquakes? Isn't that a crazy thing? We build these big overpasses. We have earthquakes here. You're way up over this big overpass, and as you're going, oh, Lord, not now, not now, not now, not now, not now, whoa, Jesus, whoa, and you get back, oh, thank you, Lord. You go over a bridge, you know, those are all exercising of faith. And then someone comes along like me, a preacher, and he says, put your faith in God. Whoa, no, I ain't going to do that. Put our faith in an elevator, and you get an elevator, you take off, and you examine the cables before you get in. No, you just get in. That thing could crash, by the way. Just thought I'd encourage you. I mean, you do faith all day, every day, all the time. You put your trust in people, in things. So why not put your faith in God? Put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's how you enter into this narrow gate. And it's narrow, so we can only enter one person at a time. Jesus said that they are poor enter in spirit. Those who mourn, Matthew 5, will enter in. Those that are meek and those that are hungry. It's narrow, so we can't take anything from the old life with us. You ever pass through a narrow door and try to carry luggage and you can't get through? You can't carry the sins of the old life. You can't carry your selfishness. You can't carry your covetousness, your evil associations. Like the rich young ruler, he was rich, he was young, and he was a ruler. Now, this guy had it going for him, rich, young, ruler. I mean, that's the kind of thing that we would actually come. I want to be young, I want to be rich, and I want to be powerful, I want to be a ruler. But he sensed a need in his life, an emptiness that those things couldn't satisfy. And he asked Jesus, what good thing can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus knew that his money was standing in the way of him entering into that narrow gate. You can't take your money with you. It doesn't mean everyone has to give up their money to follow Jesus Christ, but Jesus put his finger on the very thing in that man's life that was keeping him from going through the narrow gate. And Jesus said, sell everything that you have, give it to the poor. Come and follow me, and you'll have treasures in heaven. Remember what that young man did? He turned, and he went sorrowfully away because he had great riches. He allowed his wealth to keep him from going through that narrow gate. And I encourage you tonight not to let anything stand in the way of keeping you from going through that narrow gate. You see, all my friends will laugh at me. Let them laugh. They can laugh you into hell, but they can't laugh you out of hell. I'd rather walk a lonely road with Jesus than be without him in a crowd. When I was 19, I made the decision to follow Christ. But, you know, up to that point, it's like, oh, I don't want, my friends will think I'm weird. My friends won't like me anymore. I won't be able to hang out with my friends anymore. And finally, I realized they are on the broad road. They are going to destruction. Why would I want to follow them? I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. And you take that stand tonight, you make that step tonight to say, I don't care what people think, I don't care what people say, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. You'll find it a marvelous, marvelous, marvelous decision that you make. It's interesting that in contrast with the wide gate, this gate is narrow. The wide gate is the popular way. It's the easy way. My question is, you entered in the narrow gate. Go back with me to verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight or narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereof. So there are many people that go through this broad gate that leads to the narrow way. So two gates lead to, second thing we want to see, two ways. The narrow way and the broad way. Now, all of humanity are on one of those two roads. You've gone through the gate. You're headed down the road. God's way is the king's highway. It's restricted by God's standards, as seen in the Sermon on the Mount and the Scriptures. It's not easy, but it's the way of self-denial and sacrifice and service. And few there be, verse 14, that are on this path. So if you're going to go through the narrow gate, guess what? You are not going to be in the majority. In the school, in your work, in your neighborhood, maybe even in your own home, you might be the only one that says, I'm going to go through that narrow gate. Your parents might not go through it. Your brothers and sisters might not go through it. Other family members. But what option do you have? You're going to follow them through the wide gate? You're going to follow them down the broad way? You're going to follow them to destruction? What good is there in that? Few there be that find it. It's the grace of God that gives us that sense of our sin and our need of Him, that we can go through that narrow gate which leads to the narrow way. And then there's the broad way, verse 13, man's way, Satan's way, the way of the world. This is the easy path. It's the popular path. It's the wide path. And I have an imagination. Let me preach with a little sanctified imagination. I believe this path is slightly downhill. And the wind always blows to your back. It's easy. It's popular. It's cool. It's in. And people go, I don't want to go up that narrow path. I don't want to go through that narrow gate. I don't want difficulties. I want to do what I want. I want to do it my way. I want to you know, live my life my own way. And so they go down this broad path. I'm not very good at math, and I'm not a bike rider either. I used to ride a bike, and where we lived in Highland up in San Bernardino, all the area around our house was like all slightly sloping downhill. There was nothing level anywhere. So I'd get on the bike, try to ride. I always go downhill, go as far as I could until I get to the bottom, and then I would call my wife and say, come pick me up. I remember more than once, you know, I'd get on my bike, and I'm all macho riding this bike, you know, and it's just downhill. I'd mostly just be coasting, you know. And I'd get all the way down, I'd ride all the way uphill back home. I'd go, Christy, can you come pick me up? Because I don't want the hard way. I don't want the difficult way. I don't want to have to work at this. We want the easy path, the broad path, the popular path. It's the easy way. It's self-satisfying. It's broad. You know that we actually get from the Greek word translated Broadway, we actually get the word country from it. It means open space. It's nice and open. Yeah, I'm in the country, you know. We want the broad road, the easy road, the pleasing road. We don't want what is narrow or difficult or unpopular. So we follow the broad path. You say, but John, why would anyone follow the narrow way if it involves sacrifice and self-denial and you can't take your old life with you? And the answer is because of the destination. We have two gates, we have two ways, and thirdly and lastly, we have two destinations. Verse 13 says that the broad way leads to destruction. Verse 14 says that the narrow path leads to life. Two gates, two ways, two destinations. Every one of us here tonight and all of humanity are on the narrow road or the broad road, and we are headed to one of two destinations, life or destruction. Let me rephrase it for you, heaven or hell. Yeah, I actually use the word hell. The Bible uses the word hell. And Jesus spoke about hell more than anyone else in the Bible. Why? Because he knew it was a real place. Heaven is a real place. And hell is a real place. And all of humanity is on one of two roads headed to one of two places. Heaven or hell. And you are here tonight on your way to heaven or you're on your way to hell. Now, if you're on the broad path, there's always time before you die to get on the narrow path. Just because you're on the broad path tonight doesn't mean, oh, I'm going to hell, I'm going to hell, I'm going to die. No, you can repent tonight. You can believe in Jesus Christ tonight, and you can get on the narrow path tonight. Amen? Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how middle-aged you are. I don't care how rich you are or poor you are or intellectual you are. If you're on the broad path headed for destruction, tonight you can get on the narrow path that leads to life. This destruction is another name for hell. The wide path, the broad gate, leads to a wasted life and a damned soul. The psalmist in Psalm 73 began to be envious of those who were on the broad path. Sometimes as Christians, when you're on this narrow road and you're following Jesus, you look over to the broad road and you go, wow, that's an easy road. I'd like to be on that road. Look how happy they look. Look how exciting that looks. Do you know where it's headed? The Old Testament likens it unto a cow being fatted for the slaughter. You know what they'd do with cows, the fat for the slaughter? They were going to make barbecue out of them. They would put them in their own separate little pen, and they would feed them tons of food. And don't you think the other cows were watching this thinking, this ain't fair? Why is that dude getting all the food? Why is that guy getting all the attention? Why is he getting so fatted up? Little did they know. He's headed for McDonald's. Dude's being fatted up for the barbecue. And a lot of people are like that. They're on the broad road. You know, oh, why do they get that? Wow, why do they have the nice car? Why do they have the Rolex watch? And why do they have the cool house? And why do they get all that? You know, it's not because Satan wants to kind of lull them into complacency. So Asaph said in Psalm 73, he said, I almost stumbled because I came to be envious at the prosperity of the foolish until I went to church. Until I went into the house of God and I began to understand their end, what a slippery path they are on. He said, one day they'll awaken like one awakens from a dream. And then he realized, but God, I'm with you and you're guiding me and you're leading me and afterwards you're going to receive me to glory. He realized his end. He got his destination in view. You need to lift your eyes a little higher and look at where you are going in life. So the narrow gate, the narrow way, leads to life. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should never perish, but have what? Everlasting life. That's the destination. Now, we tend to believe that everlasting life is just that when you die, you get to go to heaven. But did you know that everlasting life starts the moment you are born again? The moment you are born again, you have present tense everlasting life. You will never die. You'll die physically, but you won't die spiritually. So you don't have to like, oh, I hope I go to heaven when I die. I sure hope I go to heaven when I die. You already have eternal life. And eternal life isn't just living for a long time. There's a lot of people that are bummed out on life, and the thought of living for a long time is not a very happy thought. Eternal life is quality, not just quantity. It's a new dimension. It's a new plane. It's a new quality of life. It brings joy. It brings peace. It brings love. It brings fulfillment. It brings happiness. It brings contentment. And the moment you're saved, you have the joy of sins forgiven. You have the peace of God in your heart. And you have the hope of heaven that even through the difficulties of life, you know where you will spend eternity. You have it now, and you will spend eternity with God in heaven. Don't be deceived. The broad way looks easy and happy, but it is the way of the transgressor, which is hard and leads to destruction. The narrow way may look hard, but it's the way of life. Jesus said it like this, one of my favorite verses that really impressed me when I was a young Christian. Jesus said, if you seek to find your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake and the gospel, you will find it. Now, what does it mean to find your life? That means live it your way, do what you want, do your own thing, disregard God, and live however you want. You will miss life. But if you lose your life for his sake, in other words, you say, Lord, I surrender to you. I give my heart to you. I give my life to you. I'll go where you want me to go, and I'll do what you want me to do, and I'll be what you want me to be, and I'll say what you want me to say. Guess what you find? Life. I wasted so many years wanting to do my thing and live my way, and I was missing out on life. And the day when I invited Jesus Christ to come into my heart and forgive my sins, and I gave up my life, guess what I found? Life. So it's through dying that we live. It's through surrender that we are set free. It's through coming to God that I enter that narrow gate, that narrow way, which leads to eternal life. What a glorious thing that is. We were made to know God, and the only way to know him is to enter the narrow gate, to walk the narrow path. It's the only way to life. And Jesus said, come to me, all of ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Tonight, if you are on that broad road, tonight, if you are on that broad path and you need rest, come to Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight, we're not just here to sing songs and preach a sermon and have tacos after church. We're here to get right with God, to know God's voice, to follow God's path. And I want to give you an opportunity in just a minute. If you're here tonight, you don't know you're saved. You don't know that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He opened that gate, that narrow gate, so that you could go through that and find eternal life. But you have to admit tonight that you are a sinner. All have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's no one righteous, no, not one. And the wages of sin is death. The Bible says the soul that sins will surely die. But your sins and my sins were placed upon Jesus Christ on the cross. And he paid the penalty for our sins. He was buried and rose again from the dead for our sins. And he says, whoever will believe in me will not perish but have everlasting life. And I want you to know tonight, no matter how sinful your past, no matter how dark the path that you've been on, God can forgive you and God can give you eternal life. He can forgive your sins, make you his child, and you can leave church tonight on that narrow road, knowing that you will go to heaven. That destination is heaven. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place, and if I go to prepare this place, I'll come again for you, that where I am, you can be also. You can know tonight that when you die, you'll go to heaven. But it's only going to happen if you go through that narrow gate and if you walk that narrow way. That's the only way you can know you're going to go to heaven. So if you're here tonight, you say, Pastor John, I want to know that. I want to know. I don't want to leave here tonight on that broad road. I don't want to go to destruction. There really is a hell. It's eternal separation from God. The Bible says there is weeping and gnashing of teeth where the worm dies not, and the fire is never quenched. But there really is a heaven, and you can go there if you will put your faith and your trust in God. Again, young person, old person, middle-aged person, any person, rich, poor, educated, doesn't matter. Tonight, make sure that you're a child of God. Make sure that your sins are forgiven. Make sure that when you die, you'll go to heaven. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer.